Julie Nixon Eisenhower was born into a political family. Her father was Richard Nixon, former congressman, senator, vice president, and eventually the 37th president of the United States. Her mother was Pat Nixon, who steadfastly stood by her husband from the beginning of his political career to its ignominious end and beyond. In 1986, Julie Nixon Eisenhower, the couple's younger daughter, wrote a book called Pat Nixon, The Untold Story. She told me that year that her book was intended to blow up the misconceptions about her mother.
I think that the image would be of Pat Nixon as a long-suffering political wife, kind of a martyr-type person. I think that's totally inaccurate because she has always been a full partner with my dad. I mean, they were the first political husband and wife team. It began in 1946 with the first campaign for the Congress when my mother began campaigning at his side. In those days, in 46, women weren't very active in politics. And my mother decided that she wanted her husband to win, and she was going to be active, and that was the start of it. And for 11 major campaigns, she was part of that effort. And part two of his diplomatic triumphs, she visited 78 nations around the world as a goodwill ambassador. And in order to keep up that kind of schedule and to do that kind of campaigning and meeting people day after day, you have to really have your heart in it. And she did have her heart in it.
I think there are many spouses, wives and now husbands alike, who would say, you're going to run for Congress? Fine, I'll be with you. Run for Senate? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Vice President? Okay. But through history, it seems that many wives who otherwise are very supportive of their husbands, when it comes to running for president, it seems like they're not quite sure that they want to be thrust into the same mm-hmm. spotlight that he wants so badly.
I think that's a really good point. And I think it's especially true today because television has really revolutionized the presidency. It is truly a goldfish bowl environment. And because you are guarded so heavily now by Secret Service, you don't have the personal freedoms that presidents did even 30 years ago. So you have to really think long and hard if you're going to make that step towards the presidency. I think it's true.
When was Pat Nixon at her happiest?
Oh, I don't know. I think that you go through stages in your life that are happier than others. I think, for example, today, these are some of the greatest years of my mother's life. She has recovered just beautifully from her stroke. She is a fighter. I mean, that's another part of her personality that I think is easy to underestimate, is just how much of a fighter she is and how often she was the one behind my father saying, you have to keep fighting. But these years with the grandchildren and having more time with her husband, they're great years. I think the years when my mother was a young woman in Whittier and my parents were courting. I have some letters that they wrote each other during that period, and you see that they were both very intensely idealistic. You know, they really were part of that American dream. They both had very humble beginnings, but because they lived in America, they thought they could go anywhere in the world, and you got a great sense of buoyancy. I think those were great years.
Sometimes your mother has the image of being a very humorless person, but that's not the way she was at all, was she?
No, but it's difficult when you are a public person to really let your humor shine through, unless you are just a natural stand-up comic and comedian. And especially, too, when you think of the roles that the First Lady's thrust in. If you're visiting earthquake victims in Peru, as my mother did, flying into the Andes, seated on a kitchen chair that had been bolted to a cargo plane, landing on a dirt runway. I mean, this was really a very dangerous mission. You're in a position where you are comforting people. I mean, so often the First Lady, because she travels abroad to countries where there is strife or there is great poverty, she's in more of the role of the lady from the United States as opposed to someone who can really show the joking and good humor. But my mother has a delightful sense of humor, and I'm sure that's what's kept her sane in politics. You have to have a sense of humor to survive it.
Julie Nixon Eisenhower told me that her mother never tried to influence policy or even speak out on the issues, deferring instead to her husband.
I think that what my mother brought to my father's presidency was a great sense of strength and serenity. In other words, things could be going wrong, but he could count on her to be there, to be rock-like in her belief in what he was trying to accomplish for the country, in her belief that there might be a a demonstration of hundreds of thousands of people in the streets against the war in Vietnam one day, but that the next day she would still be the same person and still believe that, that things could be resolved and that he was on the right track in trying to extricate us from that war, bring home the POWs.
Most people, it strikes me, don't feel wishy-washy about the Nixons. They either love them or hate them. Is that what you found?
I really haven't found it quite in those terms. What I've found is that my mother is pretty universally liked, I would say. I think my father definitely has people who feel very strongly one way or another, and you're right, the ones who love him really love him, and those who don't like him really do not. But with my mother, she was seemed to be able to bridge the gap there. And I've had so many people who have come up to me and said, I really didn't like your father very much, but your mother, what a lady.
I'm curious, what would Pat Ryan have done in life had she never met Richard Nixon?
Well, she wanted to be a teacher, and she was a teacher. And she, in fact, passed up two opportunities to be in the movies. She was twice given contract signing papers, one with Paramount Pictures for a film called Eight Girls in a Boat, which she bypassed in order to fulfill her dream of an education.
Perhaps a wise career move at that.
Right. She, she loves young people, and she has tremendous... she is more of the type of person to step back and to encourage others, though she has a tremendous sense of her own worth. I'm not saying that she doesn't, but I think that she is very well suited to teaching, to gaining the confidence of other people, to making them feel that she cares about them. I remember she told me that when she taught at Whittier High School, she always kept her door open after hours because she wanted students to come in and talk to her about anything that was bothering them. That was her way.
I would imagine she was that way with you and your sister as well.
She really was. I didn't go through a teenage rebellion period because she was very tolerant. she seemed to always be there listening. So it was, she did a good job.
Now by 1986, the Nixons were starting to fade a bit from the public memory, and Julie found herself enjoying her newfound anonymity.
I'm not recognized. In fact, the highlight of this book tour was in Detroit when the ticket counter man kept staring at me, and I knew that he thought he'd seen me somewhere before, and he finally said, "Hey, are you on the soaps?" I tell you, this made my trip. So I'm leading quite a normal life right now, and it was a great experience to be involved in my father's two presidential bids, and to have missed the first one in '60 because I was too young. I'm glad I was old enough to be a participant, and these are memories I could never lose. But I'm glad to have a normal life now.
You're just the folks down the block.
Sure am.
Now there was one thing that Julie Nixon Eisenhower's publisher specifically asked me not to ask her about. But the interview had gone so well up to that point, and she seemed so open and so nice and willing to talk that I had to ask her about it.
How did your mother cope with Watergate? This is an incredible time for your family, indescribable strain, I would imagine, but how did she manage to handle it?
Well, she coped with the that long, 13-month period, just by taking each day as it came. She told me that the reason she didn't keep a diary during the White House years is that she didn't like to look back. It always was her way of dealing with pressure or a very pressured schedule, was just to take each day to do the best job she could do and to look forward to the next. And that's what she did during that Watergate period. And she just knew the tremendous burdens that my father was laboring under, not only because of Watergate, but because of what he was trying to accomplish domestically and internationally during that time. And she just tried to do everything she could to support him, and that's how she dealt with it.
That kind of situation would really tax anyone's patience and sanity, and you must really have to be a very strong person to withstand that.
Well, throughout her life, she's just shown again and again that she, had that kind of strength. Not only losing her mother when she was 13 and her father when she was 18 and then being determined to get an education, but just in the way she dealt with being a public person. I think that a real example of her character was in Caracas in 1958 when my parents were on one of the Goodwill tours. They were in Latin America, and a mob of 500 armed with baseball clubs, bats, and huge, rocks surrounded the car that my father and mother They were in two cars that they were in. And for 12 long minutes, they were in danger of being killed. Every window in my father's car was smashed by the time the demonstrators had finished. And they were at the point of rocking the car. They were trying to turn it over and set it on fire. And when I was talking to my mother about the book, I asked her, what were you thinking during those moments when your life was in danger? And her answer, it really surprised me. Instead of saying I was thinking about you and Tricia, or I was thinking about maybe that this was the end, she said, I was angry. Here we were on a goodwill trip. It was supposed to be goodwill, and these communist-inspired hoodlums had to do this. I mean, that was her reaction. I mean, this is really a woman of, I think, rather extraordinary courage. That's the way she's met her life.
Pat Nixon died in 1993. Richard Nixon the following year. I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.